Dennis Nakata here. We have a special guest here. Part of, we're going to call this a extended What's Up. Can you give me a what's up?
What's up, Eugene?
What's up, Eugene? It's Police Chief Skinner in the house. Busy time, you said.
Yeah, we are busy, but we're busy in a good way. One of the really, really cool things about what's going on right now is on Monday, we brought on 17 new police officers. We are fully staffed plus three overhired in preparation for retirements. I'm not sure that's ever happened in the history of this department, and especially for a department our size to be fully staffed is fantastic. And that is just a real shout out to my staff who has compressed the hiring process, done a great job of recruitment, and we just got a lot of people that want to be a part of the organization. So that's good news.
So you, that was one of the things when you first came on the job. You wanted to make sure that you had the staffing so that everybody can be taken care of.
Yeah, we, you know, one of the things is we've really, really embarked on a very ambitious campaign to recognize how understaffed we are compared to what we're being asked to do in this community. But one of the things that I felt really strongly about before we went out to this community and said, hey, what is this police department? What should this police department look like? How big should it actually be? Is to actually fill the vacant positions that I had instead of having vacant positions and then asking for more. And then people say, well, you can't even fill the ones you have. So
right.
we really are pleased that we're at a place now where we have everybody staffed up. Now, having said that, Dennis, 40 of these cops, these brand new cops over the last several months are in some level of training. So it's not like you hire them and they're ready to go. They're either in the academy, in the pre-academy, or in field training. And so it takes a while to get them all up to speed, but we're really pleased with where we're at.
Can you chat about the process, the academy and the training? What kind of time frame are we talking about here?
When I got here, it was taking us about 6 months to get somebody from recruitment date to onboarding date. It took us about 6 months, which is way too long. We needed to differentiate ourselves. We needed to be the first dog to the bull when it comes to the best candidates. We compressed that to 90 days. And so we were running processes every other month. And so that process involves, as you can imagine, great recruitment because we want a good, diverse group of applicants. And then we go through the process of interviewing and the extensive background process, and then medical and psychological history before we even bring anybody on. And then once we get them on, there's a whole litany of training that happens. There's a pre-academy that happens for several weeks. And then if you're a baby cop, then you go up to the academy in Salem, and you spend 4 months up in Salem at the State Academy before you come back down, and then spend another 6 months in field training.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time. A lot of investment, too. People don't realize the tremendous investment we have in these young men and women when they come on board. So it's important for us to make the right choice as best we can right out of the gate.
I don't think I've ever heard the term baby cop.
Well, it's, you know, it's we have a good blending of what we call our lateral police officers, where they come to us already certified either by the state of Oregon or another state, and they already have some level of training or experience. But I always kind of affectionately, our entry level, I always kind of affectionately call them our baby cops. Because really, it is like growing up. You know, it's really a crawl, walk, run mentality when it comes to policing. And we have to be very, very careful about putting the time and energy and effort in early, because then that helps us be successful later on.
So the weeding out process, I was just reading about Portland having some issues. They're getting some candidates in, but they're what's the term, not dropping out, but they're
we wash people out is in the background. I mean, there's no
okay.
question. We interview a bunch of people and they seem on the surface seem like really good candidates, and then when we do a background and I'll tell you, the backgrounds in Eugene are unlike any backgrounds I've ever seen. I spend a significant amount of money actually sending people to locations to meet with people face-to-face, look people in the eye, and ask them about candidates and really get a sense. We really do like a true investigation. And a lot of other areas, it's kind of phone calls, reference checks, but we really spend a lot of time, and that's where we wash people out, because, you know, people make knucklehead decisions in their lives, and some of them are recoverable.
Right.
Certainly, we want to be mindful of that. We, you know, I was in college once. I was a knucklehead once. You know,
we're both raising our hands.
I get that, yeah. You know, however, there are some of those things that people have chosen to do in their
sure.
lives that are not recoverable, and we need to know about that.
You could stick around for a little bit?
Absolutely.
Love that. Eugene Police Chief Chris Skinner in the house, and we'll chat. We'll continue What's Up Wednesday here in a couple minutes on KUGN. Part two of What's Up? I know you got another one in you.
Eugene, what's up,
what's
Eugene?
What's up? There you go. Police Chief Chris Skinner, thank you again for hanging out, doing extra duty.
Yeah, it's fun, today. Dennis. I
appreciate you coming in. We have some stuff that we didn't touch up on in our first segment. You got the crime unit, right?
Yeah. We were really, really pleased this last year. Council took a huge gamble on trying to do something about our public safety system when they infused about $8.5 million of one-time dollars into public safety and community safety, of which we got a portion of to hire 10 additional police officers to start trying to trend some things downward.
Okay.
And instead of just hiring 10 officers and throwing them on patrol and hoping that they made a difference, what we did is we built a street crimes unit. And when it's fully built out, it's two sergeants and eight officers. And the purpose of this team is to solve problems around this community. And we've been able, operationally from staffing, we've been able to get half of that team up and running now for about a month and a half. And they're just doing fantastic work. We're shutting problem houses down for neighborhoods that have been in crisis forever. We're dealing with some street level drug activity. We're dealing with street crime type activity that we're seeing and behavior. And when we get this thing fully built out with two sergeants and eight officers, I'm really excited about what we can accomplish and that the community can feel really good about seeing be accomplished through this initiative. So this is just one example of many that I've got kind of in the back of my mind of what I think this community deserves when it comes to public safety services.
So the importance of, and this is probably a dumb question, but the importance of that collaborative communication channel with city council.
Yeah, we can't do anything without support from our city leadership. And, you know, our city executive team is fantastic. It's a really, really strong, cohesive team led by John Reese, our city manager. But the council, we're in a really unique place with the council where they really recognize the need and they really support public safety right now. When I mean public safety, it's not just about police. It's about our fire service partners, our municipal court partners and how we stress them, homeless services needing to do something about the unsheltered adults that we have here in town that are looking for stable shelter, and then prevention services. So when we think about this, we think about it from an entire system. It's not about just hiring cops. It's about an entire system that we can grow into that's going to make Eugene more livable.
So let's talk about the coffee get-togethers that you hold. Mm-hmm. Once I'm sure, number one, you enjoy those, but what are you hearing from folks that stop by and some of the concerns?
Yeah, we love doing those. I just love making myself available to people, and I have some really interesting conversations, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on both ends of the spectrum, within 5 minutes of each other. I mean, it's really amazing. The majority of what we're hearing from people are certain, don't center around violent crime. People are not afraid in this community about violent crime. Our violent crime numbers are actually manageable and not out of the norm. The thing that people come to me with is those quality of life types of things. What can you do about the trespass, the criminal mischief? My car got broken into. My bike was stolen off my porch. Just on and on and on. We file about 5,000 misdemeanor crimes a year here in Eugene, second only to Multnomah County Circuit Court.
Wow.
We are really, really plagued with a lot of the low-level misdemeanor quality of life crimes. That's where people are feeling the pain and they need the relief. The only way I give them relief is if I have the staff that I can actually send
right to
go to those low-level or less priority, lower priority crimes.
Which you're working towards now.
Which we're working towards. And this community safety initiative, which is trying to raise $22.5 million, is how we change that trend. The challenge is the mechanism to raise the funds is always – there's always a difference of opinion on how we should do that. But at some point, we got to land on something, be committed to it, and do something because we're at a real tipping point now with our criminal behavior and the staff that I have to be able to handle it.
So in about 30 seconds, and I hate to confine you to that, summertime's coming up, weather's going to get warmer. Mm-hmm. What changes for you? What preparations do you go through?
Yeah, we know that this gets to be a busy time of the year. People are out and about. You'll see a lot of influence downtown. We really want to change the trajectory and the feeling downtown, so we're going to have lots of resources down there. We're also going to start trying to put some resources on bicycles on our bike paths. Hear a lot of stories about bike path behavior, not necessarily criminal, but behavior that is not fun to experience on the bike path. So we're going to focus bike paths downtown. Street crimes unit's going to be out there solving problems, trying to deal with some of those things. And then we're going to we're going to come to council with a couple of ordinance types of changes that we think will help us move the needle, so to speak, on some of the behavior that we're seeing.
So bottom line, the message is your eyes, we're watching you, right?
Yeah, we're doing the best we can with what we have. We just need people to hang in there with us, support us.
Chief Skinner, appreciate it. How many strokes aside are you going to give me when we go play?
There's no chance I'm giving you strokes. You just got back from Palm Springs. I don't care if you played or not. I'm not buying that.
Toka T, we're going to go.
All right, we'll do it.
I appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Come back again, okay?
Okay.
All right, what's up? Wednesday here on KUGN.